Question is this: how often should we partake of the Lord's Supper, or why do we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday? I'm sure you know that many denominational churches do not observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday. In fact, Edward Hiscox, in his manual for Baptist churches, says there is no scriptural rule as to the frequency with which, nor the time or place at which, it shall be observed. The primitive Christians evidently kept the feast daily. Subsequently, it came to be a weekly service at each public assembly. By some, it is still so observed. Some churches observe it quarterly, some bimonthly. But with our people, he means the Baptists, it has come to be a general custom to have the communion monthly and usually on the first Sunday in the month. Now, I suspect that many of you may be thinking that this is a pretty easy question to answer, and you would go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and Anna and Diana are nodding their heads in the affirmative. We are very familiar with this passage where Luke says of the disciples in the city of Troas, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, continued his message until midnight." So in this one verse, we've got the first day of the week, and we've got disciples coming together to break bread, and we've got Paul speaking till midnight. Of course, some folks say he started at 11:30, but the text doesn't really say that. But I want to point out to you that there are several things that this passage doesn't say. Have I got your attention? Have I piqued your interest? It doesn't say in this verse that they were commanded to break bread. And it doesn't say that they broke bread every Sunday. And it doesn't say that they broke bread only on Sunday. Do I have the wheels turning in your head? Well, now you may be thinking, yes, but in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, when God told the Jews, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," they knew that that meant keep it every Sabbath day, every Saturday. And sometimes folks have compared that passage with the passage that we began our study with, Acts 20 and verse 7. In fact, I have made this argument. But when we make this argument, we're really mixing apples and oranges. Because Exodus 20 and verse 8 is a command. Acts 20 and 7 is a statement or an example. Do you see this? And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," the day is inherent in the command, only Saturday. But you don't have that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The day is not inherent in this statement. It doesn't say only Sunday. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, the frequency is inherent Remember, the Sabbath day obviously means every Sabbath day, but you don't have that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The frequency is not inherent. It doesn't say every Sunday. So why do we observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday? This question is not as simple as I think some might think. So, what evidence is there in the New Testament concerning the frequency of Lord's Supper observance? Well, we know from Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that the early Christians observed the Lord's Supper repeatedly and frequently. Luke says, and they, he's speaking of the first converts on Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, there are very good reasons to believe that this breaking of bread that Luke mentions here is a reference to the Lord's Supper, but that's outside the scope of our study this morning. But the very fact that we are told that they continued steadfastly in the things that Luke mentions suggests that these things were done repeatedly and frequently. And we've already noticed from Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that the Christians in the city of Troas assembled together to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Now let me back up a step and point out that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the expression is translated differently in our English version. Several, as you can see on the chart, render it continued steadfastly, but many other translations render it devoted themselves to. There's really no difference in meaning, it seems to me. And when you look at how this word is defined, BDAG says that it means to stick by or be close at hand, attach oneself to, wait on, be faithful to someone. And then the second definition, to persist in something, busy oneself with, be busily engaged in, be devoted to, hold fast to, continue and persevere in something, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And Mr. Thayer in his lexicon says that the word means to persevere in anything. He goes on to say to give constant attention to a thing, and he lists Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 as an illustration or an example of that meaning. We also know that the Christians in Corinth assembled together to observe the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, Paul says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." The saints in Corinth were coming together to observe the Lord's Supper. We also know that the Christians in Corinth were to lay by in store every first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now, you may have noticed that in the rendering of the New King James Version, it does not say every week, but there are several English translations that do read that way, and I'll come back to that momentarily. I also want to remind you that we are told more than once that the same things were taught by the Apostle Paul in all the churches. So whatever instruction he gave to the Corinthians concerning their collection, it's the same instruction that he gave in all the other churches. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 and notice that the New American Standard Bible says on the first day of every week. And the English Standard Version says on the first day of every week. Now, several of our English versions just read the first day of the week, but then there are others, as I've already mentioned, that read the first day of every week. What's going on here? Why is there this difference in translation? Well, Brother Mike Willis, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, offers this explanation. He says the Greek word kata, and this is already above my pay grade. I haven't studied the original language, so I have to depend upon those who have. But he says the kata is used distributively. McKnight, that's a commentator, said, and as katapolin signifies every city, and katamena every month, and kataklesian in every church, so katamean sabbaton, that's the rendering in 1 Corinthians 16, signifies the first day of every week. Therefore, Paul's instructions is one which must be followed on the first day of every week. So there is a nuance in the Greek text that many of our English translations bring out, others, unfortunately, do not. But there's little doubt that Paul was instructing the saints in Corinth to lay by in store every first day of the week. Now, when you look at the New Testament passages concerning the Lord's Supper and the information that they provide, let me point out to you that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it mentions the Lord's Supper. It may mention Sunday. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread. The reason I have a question mark on the chart is, do we know if they began to do that very first Sunday, that Pentecost day, or was it something that they began to do a bit later? In Acts 20 and verse 7, the Lord's Supper is mentioned and Sunday is mentioned, but every week is not mentioned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul talks about having communion with the blood and body of Jesus when we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, the Lord's Supper is mentioned, but there's no day mentioned, nothing about every week. The Lord's Supper is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, but not Sunday, not every week. 1 Corinthians 16, you've got Sunday and you've got every week, but you don't have the Lord's Supper mentioned. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another as you see the day approaching. I've got a question mark there. Is that talking about Sunday or is that talking about some other day? What I'm trying to show you is that all of the elements for weekly Lord's Supper observance are not found in any single passage. Now, don't get ahead of me, okay? The Bible clearly teaches that the first day of the week has some great significance. I'm a bit embarrassed to say to you that it didn't dawn on me for years that creation began on the first day of the week. Diana had an aha moment. Well, if God rested on the seventh day, he started on the first day, right? That hadn't dawned on me. Although it is disputed, the Feast of Pentecost likely always was on the first day of the week. We know that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. He met with his apostles on the first day of the week. Holy Spirit baptism occurred on Pentecost. The church began. We've got Lord's Supper observance in Troas, the collection for the saints. We've already mentioned that. John had his vision on the Lord's day. So, there are significant things that occurred on the first day of the week. We also know that the church fathers, those who wrote in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th centuries, they indicate that the Lord's Supper was observed every Sunday in the post-apostolic period. And then many commentators believe that the first century church observed the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Now, let me show you some evidence now. And I'm not going to read the entirety of these quotations, but Barnabas, the Epistle of Barnabas, says, "Your new moons and your Sabbath I cannot endure." He's quoting the Lord. "You perceive how he speaks. Your present Sabbaths are not acceptable to me, but that is which I have made, namely this, when giving rest to all things, I shall make a beginning of the eighth day, that is a beginning of another world. Wherefore also we keep the eighth day with joyfulness." I'll come back to that later. The Didache, thought to have been written somewhere in the first half of the second century, says, "But every Lord's day do ye gather yourselves together and break bread." Ignatius, writing in the early part of the second century, says, "Let us therefore no longer keep the Sabbath after the Jewish manner." Skipping down, he says, "And after the observance of the Sabbath, let every friend of Christ keep the Lord's day." In another place, he says, "No longer observing the Sabbath, but living in the observance of the Lord's day." Justin Martyr, writing about the middle of the second century, says, "For the first day after the Sabbath, remaining the first of all the days, is called, however, the eighth, according to the number of all the days of the cycle, and yet remains the first." So they refer to Sunday as the first day and the eighth day. It's just kind of the way they counted things. And if you include both Sundays, you have 8 days. If you don't include the first Sunday, and you go to the second Sunday, you have 7 days. Just a difference in how they calculated time. Justin Martyr says, "But on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place, and the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things. Then we all rise together and pray, and as we before said, when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought." They would mix wine and water to mitigate against intoxication. "And the president in like manner offers prayers and thanksgivings according to his ability." And the quotation continues. Let me point out to you that what he describes in this quotation, doesn't that look a lot like what we do every Sunday here at Cortland Avenue? Sure looks like it to me. Justin Martyr says in another place, there is then brought to the president of the brethren bread and a cup of wine mixed with water. He says, but Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly. That, of course, was the day when Jesus rose from the dead. The end of this quotation, he talks about the 8th and the 1st. I've already mentioned that. So you've got these early writers in the 2nd century who are saying that they observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And they don't say anything about observing it on a different day or at a different frequency. Now, let me point out that several denominational scholars state their opinion or conviction that that's what should be done. John Calvin, one of the founders of Presbyterianism, says, most assuredly, the custom which prescribes communion once a year is an invention of the devil. Mr. Calvin, please tell us what you really believe. He says, it ought to have been far otherwise. Each week, at least, the table of the Lord ought to have been spread. Matthew Henry, and that's a name that some of you will recognize. You've used his commentary. He had this to say, in the primitive times, it was the custom of many churches to receive the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. Philip Doddridge says, it is well known that primitive Christians administer the Eucharist, term for the Lord's Supper, every Lord's Day. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, 1700s, says, I also advise the elders to administer the Supper of the Lord every Lord's Day. Thomas Scott, a Presbyterian, says, breaking of bread or commemorating the death of Christ in the Eucharist was one of the chief ends of their assembling. This ordinance seems to have been constantly administered every Lord's Day. Adam Clark, some of you are familiar with his name. You probably used his commentary. As he observes or makes a comment about this expression to break bread, he says, to break Eucharistia, the Eucharist, as the Syriac has it, intimating by this that they were accustomed to receive the Holy Sacrament on each Lord's Day. I think that's just a repeat of that previous quote. Mason says, the fact is indisputable. Communion every Lord's Day was universal. Alexander Campbell says, all antiquity concurs in evincing that for the first 3 centuries, all the churches broke bread once a week. And Neander, a Lutheran, says that the Lord's Supper was observed on every Sunday. Albert Barnes, many of you will be familiar with that name, a Presbyterian commentator, says the Lord's Supper on every Lord's Day. He says, at that early period, it is probable that this was done on every Lord's Day. A.C. Hervey, an Anglican bishop who lived in the 1800s, says this is also an important example of weekly communion as the practice of the first Christians. Philip Schaff, well-known 19th century church historian, says the celebration of the Lord's Day in memory of the resurrection of Christ dates undoubtedly from the apostolic age. Nothing short of apostolic precedent can account for the universal religious observance in the churches of the second century. There is no dissenting voice, he says. And then he goes on to say that the custom is confirmed by several of these church fathers that I've already quoted. He says of the early church, he regarded Sunday as a sacred day, as the day of the Lord, as the weekly commemoration. J.W. McGarvey, you will recognize that name as one of the pioneer preachers in the Restoration movement, says the apostolic churches broke the loaf weekly. He says we are not told in definite terms how often it shall be done, but we find that the apostles established the custom of meeting every Lord's Day for this purpose. R.A. Torrey says it was done every Lord's Day. W.E. Vine, you're familiar with that name. You've heard me quote him from his dictionary. He says, there is sufficiently clear intimation in Scripture that the first day of the week, while not the subject of command, was the regular day upon which the Lord's people met for this purpose. Well, let me skip on a little bit. F.F. Bruce, well-known Bible scholar, died in 1990, associated with the Open Plymouth Brethren, says that the Lord's Supper probably was their it was their practice to do this each Sunday evening. Warren Wiersbe, a Baptist commentator, just died in 2019, says it is likely that the church observed the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day. Everett Ferguson, recognized scholar who did a lot of work with the patristic writings, associated with Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas, among our institutional brethren, says the Lord's Supper was celebrated only on Sunday. As far as our second century sources go, the Lord's Supper was a constant feature of the Sunday service. There is no second century evidence for the celebration of a daily Eucharist. I. Howard Marshall, well-known commentator, just died in 2015, says that, I think he's commenting on Acts 2:42. He says it's the first allusion to the Christian custom of meeting on the first day of the week for the purpose. And Trenchard says breaking of bread on the first day of the week was customary. So, now, the writings of the church fathers, the observations of commentators is not scripture. You know that, I know that. Can we get to weekly observance of the Lord's Supper on Sunday? I think we can. But to do that, I think we have to connect the dots. I pointed out that early Christians assembled every Sunday, and when they assembled, they observed the Lord's Supper. And the Christians of Troas came together to break bread. Can we draw a conclusion from all of this? I think we can, that early Christians came together every Sunday to break bread. I don't think you can establish this from Acts 20 and verse 7 alone, as I've tried to demonstrate. You've got to connect the dots. I have heard Christians say, I've probably said it, that the Lord commanded Lord's Supper observance every Sunday. I haven't found that command. I think that conclusion is correct, but you've got to connect the dots to get there. So, here are my conclusions. Notice how I said that. These are my conclusions. I know that weekly observance of the Lord's Supper on Sunday is right. I think the evidence that I have presented this morning demonstrates that weekly observance of the Lord's Supper on Sunday is permissible and pleasing to God. I don't know that anything else is right. I don't know that observance of the Lord's Supper on some other day at a different frequency is pleasing to God, that it is permissible. And so I don't do anything else. Now that's my approach in answering this question. Now there's another argument that some have made that I haven't mentioned that I will quickly mention now. And it's based upon a statement that Jesus made when he instituted the Lord's Supper. He talked about partaking of the Lord's Supper with his people in the kingdom on that day. Literally in the Greek, it is that the day. The definite article is in the Greek text. That reads awkwardly in English, and so we don't have it in our English text, but the article is there. And so some have argued that this expression, that the day, refers to a particular day. Now, I haven't done the research to look at how this expression is used in the New Testament. I know some who have. My friend David Watts looked into that many years ago, and he said, well, in every case where you could tell, where you could draw a conclusion, looked to him like it was referring to a particular day. Well, I haven't looked into that, and so I'll leave it there. We know, as I've already pointed out, that the Christians in Troas came together to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And so the argument is, the first day of the week is that day. And I'm out of material. And I'm out of time. So that worked out well. If you have any questions, be happy to talk with you. If anything was not clear, be happy to explain that. Let me just make this comment before I... Hush. Things are not always as simple and easy in Bible study as we want to make them out to be. And so we've got to be careful. And we need to be serious in our Bible study. And we need to think logically about what the text says and what the text means and arguments that we make from the text. Thank you for your very kind attention this morning.